Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to talk about Bible separation. If you scour the internet and look all over the place, you won't find a whole lot of churches today preaching on Bible separation. It's not very popular. And we are going to probably have 4 to 5 messages on it at least, on biblical separation. I just think that we don't understand the entire topic well enough. There's some wrong forms of separation that we need to understand that aren't separation. They're actually isolation, which that's not what the Bible commands us to have either. But the first and most important aspect or command is the biblical separation from sin and the world. This is the personal believer. Okay, this is the disciple of Christ. Now, personally, I used to make a distinction between believer and disciple. Now I don't. As I've studied the scriptures and I've read, I don't believe someone is a true believer if they're not a disciple of Christ. You are a believer first, and then you become a disciple. But if you're a true believer, you will be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I refuse to believe, and the Bible, whether the Bible says that too. It says, if you cannot deny your flesh, take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple.
Follow me and I will make you.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. I will. That's a promise from God. Those are his disciples. And we need to understand that today. There's this great disconnect today that has been allowed for people that, well, you can be a believer, but you don't follow Christ. That's just ridiculous. That's not the spirit that we've received. I preached a sermon a while back. I might preach it again, or I might post it. I haven't posted it on sermon audio. But as the Holy Spirit bears witness. And just what that means for the Holy Spirit to bear witness inside of your heart and inside of your life, and what that means to you and everything else. There is such a disconnect today in understanding that biblical separation is not done with our own power. It's not done by our might. Now, yes, we have to be active in it. We can rebel against God, and God will deal with us when we do. But you won't be able to rebel against God and have no consequences for it. And that's what's being taught today. And this is one of the reasons why we see a rise of this a belief in losing your salvation. Okay, losing salvation. This is why, because of so many empty professors, so many false converts and everything else, that people believe that you can lose your salvation. They take it. But really what they're in for, when you examine what they're saying, they really don't make a lot of sense. Because when does a son not become a son anymore? I mean, it doesn't make, and then, well, when they don't want to be. Well, if you don't want to be, then you never were one. So that's just pretty easy. To understand, these aren't difficult things. I think people are ignorant of the doctrine of sonship. They don't understand what it means to be some of these people are fathers, and I wonder if their son looked at them one day and said, well, you're not my dad anymore because you're mean to me. Does that mean that you're not, that he's not their dad anymore? Come on, this is just like child stuff. All right, this is not like deep rooted, hard doctrine to understand. This is like child. This is like children. My children understand what it means to be a son. I mean, I know I'm not talking about that, but it just irritates me because I see it everywhere. I see that false doctrine everywhere of losing salvation. Drives me nuts, really. I can't stand it. It bothers me because I think it's from people that have not studied the scriptures, and they rely heavily on man and not enough on the Holy Ghost of God doing his work inside of the life of that believer. It's like what they do. Well, friend, if you're your own strength, then you're going to fail in the day of adversity. If Christ is your strength, then you will persevere because he has preserved you. Yeah, exactly. You'll never talk me out of God's Spirit preserving his children and keeping them, because I can't preach a different gospel to you. I don't believe it. I've never received that one where he stops being my father because he couldn't handle me. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, that was free. That didn't cost anything. That's like a bonus. I should get paid extra for that or something, you know. Isn't that right, Brother Aaron? Shouldn't I get like a bonus for that? That was like, you know, if you go to like, you tip a waiter, you know, right? So there you go. I mean, that's, but you know what? People get mad when the preacher goes in overtime, right? He doesn't get time and a half. I don't understand that. Right? I don't get time and a half and double time for holidays. Just kidding. Right? I get sneers and this bad looks. Come on, hurry up, we're hungry. Right? That's what you get. We're hungry. We want to get out of here. That's right. My reward will be in heaven. Got to suffer here. Go eat some ramen noodles and go to Bible college. That's right. Amen. I'm not. The Lord's taking care of me. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I do too. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. I wasn't going to talk about this, but when you mention that word seal, it actually means something, right? But I'm supposed to believe that man has the power to break that seal. Okay, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. It's quite a statement, isn't it? Everyone that nameth the name of Christ. So please don't take Christ's name in vain. If you're his child, then you are to depart from iniquity. That is the command of God, that we depart from iniquity. Biblical separation is a command for Christians. It's one of the most neglected areas of preaching and practice today among born-again Bible believers and churches. God's people are largely ignorant of the command and practical need to separate. We wonder why there's no power with God today upon the lives of his people and his churches. And the reason there is no power is, quite frankly, they're touching the unclean thing and they have no fellowship with God. They're touching the unclean thing and there is no fellowship with God. How can you fellowship with God when you touch the unclean thing and do exactly what he tells you not to do? How can we expect to have that fellowship? We can't. And he won't give us his power because he's not going to give power to people he's not fellowshipping with. Amen. So the first command that we see is for Christians, number one, to separate from sin. When you are saved by God's grace, he commands us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, that's the appearance of evil. That isn't even taught. That goes beyond just sin. That goes the appearance of sin. That's why you and I are supposed to live above reproach. Amen. It's not just for the pastor. That's for everybody. We're to live above reproach. That means we should not give anybody reason to question our purity, our moral purity, our moral living. Spiritual living. No one should question that. What does that mean? That means in everything. That means in our finances. That means in the way we conduct our business. In the way we deal with somebody. Amen. By the way, just because you can get away with something doesn't mean you should do it. You understand that, don't you? Boy, that's a lesson God's people need to learn too. If you're going to avoid all appearance of evil, you know, if legally I can rip somebody off just because it's legal for me to do it doesn't mean it's biblical. You get that? What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean that I'm to go above and beyond what the world does. That's biblical separation. I don't want anybody to leave my good evil spoken of. I give myself a chance to be looked at in the light that would harm the cause of Christ. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, he does? He knows them that are his? Wow, you would think that with the open theism and that's going on, God doesn't know who is his. I mean, how could he? Because they're not always his, because they lose it one minute, then they get it the next minute, then they lose it again. So how does he know who is his? How do they ever stay his if they have the power to lose it all the time? It's ridiculous, folks. Don't fall for that garbage. What does it mean, though? What does it mean? Iniquity. It's unrighteousness. It's a deviation from the law of God, from the sinful, from the perfect law of God. It's sin. It's missing the mark. It's continuing in sin. It's iniquity. And God says that his children are to depart from iniquity. They're to live separated lives from sin. I'm to separate myself from sin and wickedness. I have a moral obligation, according to the Bible, to depart from sin. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us, turn there, because we're going to be there a long time in this today here, this study. So, Ephesians chapter 5. You know, it's amazing to me when people have to ask or think about whether they should do something, or they just go ahead and do it. And they don't have anything in their mind or their heart concerning biblical separation. Does this compromise the position of biblical separation? Does this compromise? Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us to walk in love. And then he tells us how to walk in love. What it means to walk in love. You know, then I have to stop there and I have to think about this for a second. Because I'm told every time I go out to the street and I preach that you just don't love anybody. You just don't love anybody. That's what your problem is. Oh, that Pastor Cooley, he thinks everything is sin. Yeah, I did, didn't I? I think Pastor Cooley thinks everything is sin. He just thinks everything is sin. Everything's wrong. I got told that the other day. What's that? You're always warring, right? You're always warring. Always battling. Well, anyway, they tell us you don't love. No, let me tell you something. You that are professing to be Christians out there, that are walking in sin, you don't love. That's what the Bible says. You don't love. Because love means we walk in separation from sin and from this world.
Amen.
That's love.
Amen. Thank you.
Love is not compromising with evil. Love is not embracing evil. Love is not accepting wickedness. Love is not accepting the sin of this world. That's not love. That's not compassion either. It's like if you cocked a gun, it was loaded, you put one in the chamber and you hand it to a kid and say, now don't say it. Now, and you seen a kid with it and he was carrying it around. And you didn't warn him. Because you wanted to have compassion. You didn't want to take his fun away. You didn't make him feel bad. So you didn't warn him. Or if a kid was playing with a poisonous snake. And you knew over there that was a den of vipers. But you let that little kid walk into that den of vipers and didn't warn him. Or a house was burning down. You left it there. But it's compassionate for me not to say anything. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to make them feel bad. So you'd rather let them die in their iniquity and their sin? Because that's the love that this world wants today. That's the love that most professing Christians want today. Don't reveal to me my errors. Don't reprove and rebuke me. Don't show me that. No. God commands it. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And walk in love. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Then he gives a contrast. What does it mean not to walk in love then? What am I to abstain from? As we talk about biblical separation from sin and from the world. What does it say here? He says, but fornication. Man, why did that have to be the first one? That's like there's people that want to go ahead and just stay shacked up and say they're saved, and they don't want to get right with God. Well, we're waiting to plan a big wedding that we can pay for, you know. So, you know, we got to have a big wedding. So we got to pay for that. So it's going to take us some time. So you can go ahead and fornicate until then. Is that how that works? Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and fornicate for a while so we can have that big wedding. That's right. What is that? It's nonsense. It's foolishness. And it isn't separation. The first thing that he says here is, if you're a Christian and you're going to walk in love, what does he say? But fornication and all uncleanness. Those wicked things are to be put away if you're saved. If you're a child of God, those wicked things are to be put away. That's biblical separation. That's also love, by the way. You know, when you got somebody that tells you how much sin they can get away with and still be a Christian, we got problems. We got a lot of problems when people say that. When they talk, they brag about how much sin they can commit and still be saved. There's no shame in that. Do you understand that? That's not the sign of a believer. That's the sign of a reprobate. You better be awful careful, and you better speak sharply to them and warn them. I don't want to turn them off. I think it's too late. I think it's too late to worry about any of that, friend. They're okay with their sin and they're compromising with it. You've got to preach biblical separation. And you've got to live biblical separation. And the Bible says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It's not to be named among you. There shouldn't be anybody be able to point a finger at the people of God, at the church of God, at the, and I'm talking about a local church assembly or Bible believers as well, wherever they are. There should be able to point a finger at you and say, there's fornication among you. Like Paul warned them. Paul told them in the Corinthians. Why do you think he came out blasting them? Paul would be kicked out of 99.9% of churches today with that letter of Corinthians alone. They would ask him to depart out of their coast. Like they did Jesus. After he healed the demon-possessed lunatic. Get out of here, Jesus! We don't want none of you! You know, you marvel at that, but don't. Because that's the way it is today in churches everywhere. They don't want that Jesus. They'll get a ship ready for him and sail him out of there. Same thing with Bible preaching. And biblical separation is the same thing. Folks, if people are in sin, and we're gonna, we have got to preach separation from sin. We cannot allow people. Why do you think a lot of those people will not stick around here? Because you preach against it. And if they will either one, be right, get right with God, or two, they will prove that they are backslidden or lost and on their way to hell, and they are false converts. They will step out the door and they will leave. That's the way it's supposed to be. Because God's people are supposed to be separated from sin. All uncleanness, covetousness, let not be once named among you as become a saint. We separate because we have a new position as saints and sons. We have a new position once we're saved. Remember in Ephesians 2, he said, you were dead in trespasses and sins, but you hath he quickened. He made you alive. We see here this list, and I marveled this, that moral impurity is the first one that he lists. He deals with that right away, that moral impurity. Because it is a problem. It always has been a problem, but it's increasingly a problem today. But most people don't want to talk about it. That straightforward preaching is not going to be there. They're scared to say Bible words today. Pastors are afraid to preach Bible words today. So they stay away from them. Any moral impurity, that, by the way, that is any moral impurity of a sexual nature. And that is why these so-called Christians that run around in fornication, it's the first thing that God said to separate from. But we have professing Christians today that are running around in that. The first duty of the saved disciple of Christ is to separate from sin and wickedness. That's his first duty. after he gets saved is to live a life of holiness and separation from sin. By the way, we're going to talk about separation unto holiness. That is a separate message. We're not going to get that today. But we are going to talk about that. That's one in this series that's going to be in there. Because you're not just separated from sin. You're separated unto God. Unto holiness. If you only separate from sin, you will be a miserable person. Amen! You've got to separate from sin to Christ. To holiness. Most people don't know what that means. So we're going to talk about what that means later. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This filthiness. John Gill says this. He says, neither filthiness. The former of these may include all filthy gestures and behavior, even indecent habit and attire, and all actions which have a tendency to excite lust. Get rid of them. Amen? It no longer is just about you. You see these, when you preach against biblical nudity and things like that, I've seen people, they'll talk about, well, it's just the man's fault. He just shouldn't lust. These are professing Christians that say things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you shouldn't, you know, they can wear their bikinis, you know, because it's the other guy's problem. No, it's your problem. Because the Bible says that neither filthiness, that's supposed to, filthiness. That's filthiness of the flesh, by the way, and the spirit. We'll talk about that some other time, though. But it's every indecent habit and attire and all actions which have a tendency to excite lust, and also all impure words. These discover an impure heart and are the means of corrupting men's minds and manners. Filthy speaking is a verbal commission of the things that are spoken of, and it may include all impure songs and books. Wow, how about that? And reading or hearing of them. This is what the Jews called the filthiness of the mouth, obscene words, which they say do not use on feast days as the Gentiles do. Foolish talking does not mean design every imprudent thing that is said as that which is wicked, corrupt, unsavory, light, vain, idle, and unprofitable, and takes in all fabulous stories and mimicking of fools in words and gestures, jesting, which are not convenient, that excites unto and inconsistent with truth. What does that mean? That's a jesting that produces perversion, right? And impurity. So he's saying that you should put off those things, put off those, that jesting that produces a moral impurity in the life of the person that leads them to laugh or mock at moral impurity, fornication, wickedness, sexual deviancy, whatever the case may be. And it's inconsistent with the truth when the scriptures are abused by it, and not our neighbor's edification, but hurt is promoted by it. It ought not be used. This is the separation that God wants from his children. This separation from sin. This is the command of God. It's not an option, okay? It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. You know, there are so many people that are deceived today, and when you try to cut through that deception, you will be hated. I told some lady the other day, she came up and wanted to argue with me while Nate was preaching. And she was yelling, wasn't she, Nate? She wanted to straighten us out. Yeah. So I decided to straighten her out. I told her to go home and argue with her husband, but she didn't listen to that either. So I was like, go home and argue with your husband. Don't stand there and argue with me. Anyway, she was telling us how, you know, the favorite verse, judge not. The only verse they know, judge not, right? And she just was going on and on and on. And I was like, you know, you're telling us, I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're saying you're a Christian. I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Being a Christian, you're coming up here and telling preachers they shouldn't tell men to repent. The only sin that sends you to hell is unbelief. No, all sin sends you to hell. See how that foolish, false gospel is spread everywhere? See the popularity of that? I said, lady, are you telling me that you don't have a belief that behaves? A belief that changes you and makes you a new creature? Then you got the faith of devils. I didn't say that to her. I said something worse probably, but it was really a really rough conversation. I had to get a little blunt with her because she was acting like a man. Yeah. And then her friend came up and they're like, see, I have two confirmations that you're wrong. Look at this. What confirmations do you have? Right here, lady.
Amen.
She just came up. All the while Nate's trying to preach up there. His first time up there. Yeah, it's first time up there. Lady screaming my head off, right? Just screaming at me, you know. This lady, she just wouldn't stop. And then some old lady came up and was siding with her. I went to AA and they told me God is love. I said, AA is Antichrist. Get out of here. No, I didn't say that. I want to do that. But I didn't. I said it's Antichrist. No, it isn't. She got mad at me and she was like cussing me out. This old lady. Then some guy walks by at the same time. You see why biblical separation has to be preached, though? Because these people claim they're saved, have no clue about separation from sin and worldliness. Guy comes by and says, at the same time, I mean, like, it's like all the enemies of the Lord gather themselves together against his anointed right there. You can just see it, right? I mean, it's right. It's right. You can see it. It just, they come out of nowhere. It's like their little devils bring them there. And they all just come to this guy. He goes, yeah, man, you guys are bad. I mean, you guys, you're not to be judging. God didn't make you the judge. I said, yes, he did. He said, judge righteous judgment. That's what he told me to do. No, he didn't tell that. Yes, he did. And then the lady was trying to tell me there was a Bible verse. And she was saying in Deuteronomy. I said, no, that's Joshua 1:8. That's not Deuteronomy. And she just looked at me like, yes, it is Deuteronomy. I go, no, it's Joshua 1:8. It really is. Anyway, but so the guy looks, he said, you guys are bad. I feel sorry for these kids. I feel sorry for these kids. You don't know the half of it, buddy. Just kidding. Anyway, so he looks at me and he says, I feel sorry. And he goes, you're not to judge. You're not to judge. Yes, I am. I said, judge righteous, judge blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you're all going to hell then. I go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait, I said, wait a minute. You just judged me. You told me I couldn't judge you. Right? You see the insane hypocrisy of it all? And why do you think that is? It's because their preachers have never preached. Those that go to church that claim to be Christians, do you know that they don't know what biblical separation is? If they did, they'd be out there with a sign with us. They'd be out there with us. But they don't know what it is. Yeah. Don't be fooled by the vain talkers, though. Those that won't separate from sin and wickedness. They have no truth in them. Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, if a man will not separate from sin and wickedness, I have no reason to believe he's saved. None whatsoever. And I will tell him that too. I have no reason to believe that you are saved. Why should I when he's defending his sin and saying he's righteous? Why would you ever believe somebody was saved if they'll defend their sin and say that it's okay? Why would you ever believe that they were a child of God? Shouldn't. Should you? Well, just a couple of verses up, he said, let no man deceive you with vain words. Those are empty words that carry no weight. Why? Because they're not real. They're empty. They mean nothing. What does he say in Ephesians 5:7? Be not ye therefore partakers with them. What is that? Separation from sin. Don't be partakers of their evil. Separate from it. I'm supposed to not set any wicked thing before my eyes. I'm not to go about the same worldly entertainment as others do. I'm not to have anything to do with those things. You know, want to know why there's no power today? By the way, I'm going to preach a message to you on that too. This maybe next Sunday. I'm not sure yet. But on the power of separation, the power that's produced from separation. Because you want to know why we got Christians out there that are involved with, or professing Christians. Some of them may even be saved. And their lives are involved with such worldliness because pastors aren't preaching the doctrine of biblical separation. That's why. They're not preaching it in practicality. So what happens? So they're watching all kinds of wicked movies and justifying it. They're watching all kinds of wicked entertainment. They're putting all those things before their eyes and they're following after the world. And why are they doing that? Because nobody preaches on biblical separation from sin. From sin! From wickedness! From evil, to set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's what the Bible says. I'm not to do that. I'm not to set that. But hey, guess what? Some of you have realized this. What happens when you abstain from all appearance of evil? What happens when you put away those wicked things from your heart and from your life and you make a stand on those things? What happens to those around you? What does it cause from your family? Anybody know? Bothers and doesn't it? Why? Because salt irritates. And when you live for Christ and you separate from sin, there is power that it produces. It produces conviction. I better save that message. I don't want to go down that trail right now. But that's what it does. It produces conviction. Because you see it in their lives. You're like, well, you think you're better than us because you don't do that? No, I just think I'm obeying God. I'm just being obedient. I'm not better. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. See the difference? See what it produces? Automatic conviction, and it pricks them. It pricks their heart. Why? Because now there's no cloak or cover for their sin. It's out in the open now, and you've rebuked them. Which we're going to get to in a second here. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We are not to be fashioned after this world. We're going to get to those verses in a little bit. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Well, what's the light do? Well, when light shines in a dark place, it bothers those that want to stay in the dark. Have you ever been asleep and then somebody turns on a light and you open your eyes? It's like, ooh, turn the light off. Right? What's that? Why? Because that light bothers those that are in darkness. It's supposed to bother them. I'm amazed that Christians believe that their biblical separation, they're supposed to walk through this life and nobody's going to be offended at them. Everybody's going to love you. They're going to love you. Your life's not going to offend anybody. I like it when it offends people. I love it. I love it! Why? Because it makes them think! You better believe they're at stake. We just assume, Brother John, though, that everybody on the planet is saved because they said so. Yeah. Foolish. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Amen. You know, why is it that we're so scared just to point a finger at me? Cousin, uncle, nephew, dad, mom, whoever you are, you don't show the fruits of repentance. You show the life of a lost person. You need to repent. Why? Because they're bold to tell you that you're wrong for separating from sin. You ever notice how they're not scared? You don't go to them and start preaching to them against what they're doing, but they'll come because you hold a standard up. They'll come and preach to you and make fun of you. And oh, you dress a certain way. Oh, you walk a certain way. Oh, and they got to make fun of that. Why? Because they're a bunch of convicted cowards. That's why. That don't want to live for God. That's why they hate bold preaching, too. Bothers them. You know what else bothers them? Bothers them that they can't shake me because of their little, because they make their little comments and do their little things. It bothers them that doesn't shake a preacher. And you know what? Boldness bothers them too. But when you've been with God, you can be bold. And the world hates that. Don't they? Oh, don't be bold, preacher. You should preach like a mouse. Don't stand up and preach against hard things. Don't command biblical separation like God does. Don't preach on those hard things, preacher. Come on, back off, back off, back off. Right, don't follow hard after God. You know how many times in the Bible it says that they turn not to the right hand nor to the left, but they walk the narrow way. That's what that means. When the Bible says that they turn not from the right to the left, it means they walk the narrow way. Because that's the only way there is to heaven. Don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. See, God's people want to make this road a little bit wider for carnal people. They want to make it a little bit wider. Well, I'm not going to make it wide for you. Because God didn't make it wide. I'm just going to preach it the way it is, okay? And if you're lost, then repent and be born again by the Spirit of God and have God's power to live a holy life. But stop playing games. Because it's disgusting. It really is putrid, disgusting. And the world's laughing at your Duck Dynasty gospel. Okay? The world's laughing at your Dancing with the Stars. Okay? They're just laughing. They're having a heyday with that Disney pedophilia Christianity going on. Some of you will get that, some of you won't. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. How about that? You know, I got a problem with people that goodness and righteousness and truth doesn't matter to them, but the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Wow. Then go back up there and read that verse again. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That's why you preach this book straight how it's written, and that's why you call men to repentance, and that's why you preach biblical separation from sin. You know why some people can't do it? Is because they're lost. And they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost of God inside of them to do it. That's why. I can understand people that are unchurched, people that haven't had the truth, people that haven't grown because they haven't been around strong meat, okay, or even desire the sincere milk of the Word, and they've not. I understand that, okay? But I refuse to understand it. Scoffers that have been in churches for 30 years of their life and scoff at the truth and mock those that stand up for righteousness and mock those that stand up for separation. Yeah, you better be afraid. You better be very afraid. There's a fiery judgment coming for you. And that fire is able to burn out the truth. It's able to show the false from the true. And my friend, there's coming a day. Better quit playing games with God. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Look at what it says there, though. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, we separate because we have a new spirit. Can I get the fruit of the Spirit? That's why we separate. Because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. You know, I could understand people if they want to debate prophecy, okay? If they want to debate the timing of the rapture. If they want to debate how many, what each kingdom means in the book of Daniel. I get that, okay? I get that, all right? It's fine, okay? I can disagree with people on prophecy, okay? I really can. I can handle that. All right? And we all should be able to handle that. Because we're all going to have some differences. I don't think you're a fool because you believe one certain thing about prophecy and somebody was. I don't believe that. Okay? But let me tell you one thing that I cannot and I will not tolerate. It's people that don't stand up for righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
You are not my brother.
Amen.
Plain and simple.
Amen.
You are not my brother. If you will not stand for righteousness and holiness as is found in these scriptures, you are not his. You are a liar and a deceiver. That's the problem. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is our purpose in life? You know, Rick Warren, Brother John's buddy, Rick Warren, he loves R.W. Just like he loves, just like Brother Paul loves Brother Bush. Just kidding. He loves Brother Chad Bush, but you probably don't remember who that is. Anyway, what's our purpose? You know, the purpose-driven life. Your purpose is to glorify God. That's your purpose. The purpose of separation is not so I can stand up and look proud over the top of these heathens and over the top of other Christians that are carnal. What is the purpose of separation? To glorify God. That's why. That's my purpose in life. That's why I was created. To glorify Him. Amen? Amen. To glorify Him. That's why. That's the purpose. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Our lives. You know, how many people out there today have carnal Christians or those that are backslidden or those that are just living a wicked life that claim to be saved? How many lanterns have they set up to light lost people to hell with? I just wonder. You know, for all the things that I hear about, oh, you mean preachers, and what you say when you preach all that reproof and rebuke, and you stand up and you're screaming, you're hollering, couldn't you? I had some guy get on one of my threads there on YouTube last week, and he was like, I mean, couldn't you accomplish more by just speaking? I could just hear like the effeminate voice, you know, coming out over there. Couldn't you accomplish more by just speaking? Well, we were there to preach. That's what we were there to do. Oh, and by the way, the lady told me the other day, she did tell me that Jesus whispered. God whispers. He doesn't preach loudly. He doesn't do that. He whispers. Oh, I'm telling you. When I hear it, it just blows your mind, doesn't it? I mean, the stupidity of that statement. God just whispers. So Jesus whispered to 5,000 people. Okay. I guess so. Wow. Anyway, but that's what he was saying. Why? Because he didn't want, he says, and I told him he should be ashamed of himself trying to discourage his brethren from out there preaching the word of God, trying to lead lost sinners to Jesus Christ. And he was telling me about, well, just look at the energy you're putting off. I said, what are you, a witch? What do you mean what energy I'm putting off? Get out of here. I just blocked the guy. What a nut. What does he say here? He says here, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather reprove them. We talked about this before, why I preach against the works of darkness. But I'll tell you, we need to stop here for biblical separation. Understand this, there's two parts of that separation here. Do you see this? The first part of biblical separation is to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's the first part. The second part of biblical separation, but rather reprove them. You know, it's not enough for you just to not have fellowship or not participate. That's not obeying the complete command of God. You're only obeying part of it if all you do is separate from it. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to reprove them. Rebuke is part of separation. It is part of it. Because the Bible said, Bible separation means that I have to meddle into the lives of others. What people call meddling today, anyway. I've heard people say that before. I've preached on a few things at another church that I was at. They said, oh, now you're meddling. Well, good. Somebody needs to. Good night, you bunch of sissies. It's like nobody ever raised their voice among them before. 500 people in there and everybody's like, it's like a ghost house. Good night. Wake up. No wonder why everybody's living in sin. Nobody wants to shout against it.
Amen.
You know why they don't shout? They ain't got nothing to shout about. That's why. You know the truth of it? That's why. They got nothing to say, to yell about. They got nothing to get excited about. Nothing at all. Because they're all living in a bunch of worldliness. And the world has lulled them to sleep. Lulled them to sleep. That's right.
They don't have biblical
love. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right. Biblical separation means that I do have to get involved in the lives of other Christians around me. In the sense that people call preaching meddling today, I cannot stop with just separating from evil. I have to reprove the sin around me. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 17 says this, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Oh. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Ooh. But Lord, who's my neighbor? Uh-oh. You see that? You see why when you see sin that you have to rebuke sin when you see it? You see why you have to rebuke it? You have to deal with it? Why? Because it's not enough. Love rebukes. Real love warns. And biblical separation has two parts of it from sin. One is to have no fellowship with the sin. Two is to rebuke it. It's to rebuke it, and it needs to be done. If you will suffer sin upon your family and watch them live in sin, or your friends, and you will watch them live in sin and not rebuke them for it, you're not loving. The Bible calls it hate. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Is it a small matter to you that you don't warn people that are dying of the truth? You don't warn people that are dead in their trespasses and sins? You want to know the greatest mission field today in America? Want to know where it is? You're sitting in it. Do you realize that I get cards and emails from people all over the world? You know what they say? I wish there was a church like that here. You know what, one guy, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. Because I wish there was 1,000 people more bold than me. But listen to me. A guy told, he goes, I've listened to your sermon on the parable of the sower 100 times. It's like, you're nuts! No, I didn't say he was nuts. Yeah. But anyway. But he said he listened to it. He's a good guy. He's going to actually be on the radio with us sometime. He's in Africa. He's going to be on the radio with us. Brother Stephen Reblo. Yeah. He's going to be on. We're going to call him sometime there on the radio. But anyway, he said, I've listened to it like 100 times. I'm like, I'm glad you downloaded it so you don't inflate our numbers on there. But anyway, but he said that. But others, I got a gift from somebody this week from California. And I won't mention his name because he may not want anybody to know it. He sent me a card with a gift in there. And he said, you know, he said, before I started listening to you, I thought I was a pretty bold Christian. He said, thanks for making me feel like a liberal. and he sent a card and he said, you know, there's nothing around here where I'm at. There's nothing. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, and just pray for us. And, you know, but the point is that why? Because the greatest mission field today is among professing Christians. I firmly believe that most that our churches are full of lost people. I really believe that. All over, especially in America. Especially in America. I believe our churches are full of lost people. I believe they are 70% probably full of lost people. I really do believe that. And one of the reasons why is because there's no biblical separation. Because biblical separation separates the sheep from the goats. When you have a church that follows biblical separation, when you have a church that follows that, the goats don't want to be there. Yeah. They're going to go because they don't want to be in a herd. They don't want to be in a fold. Right? The wolves won't stay around either very long. Because they don't like being revealed as wolves, so they'll leave. They'll take off. Especially when that shepherd takes that stick and smacks them out of there. And they go flying out the door.
Right.
Which I don't mind doing to wolves. I've had to do it before here. A few times. Kind of enjoy it. That's right. But you know why? It's because separated Christians, because Christians are to be separated from sin. And I have a responsibility to show my brethren if they are in sin that they must repent of their open sin and get right with God. That's what biblical separation does. That's why we rebuke it. We live it. We don't fellowship with it. And then we rebuke it. Want to know why there's not a lot of rebuking? Because people are fellowshipping with sin. And guess what happens when you fellowship with sin? You have no fellowship with God. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord God. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What's the matter? Touching the unclean thing. Having fellowship with the unclean thing. Having intimacy with sin will not give you intimacy with Christ. You can't hold Christ's hand with one and sin with the other. You'll have no fellowship with him. That's what biblical separation is. It's understanding that. That's why we preach on the streets. We warn the righteous and we warn the sinner. We warn both of them to repent. We call the righteous back to a holy living. Those that claim to be saved, those that are saved. There are some men out there that are saved, that are living backwards according to the scriptures. And God uses us to prick their hearts through his word. And they have to ask themselves, why am I not out here with them? And why am I fellowshipping with darkness? That's a duty. Ephesians 5:12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Biblical separation is not done by my own power and might. It's done by the power of the Holy Ghost of God revealed inside of me. You know, if it was up to me, I wouldn't have the power to do it. If it was up to me, I'd just go live in sin because my flesh loves it. Man, I'll tell you, if I wasn't saved, I'd be the biggest sinner you ever met in your life. And was, too, and was on my way to doing a lot of bad stuff until I was caught by the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 5:18. This is the power of the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's where the power comes from, the Spirit of God. Amen. That's where the power to separate comes from. You're right. Trying to preach to lost people to separate from sin is stupid. Let me say that again to you. It's stupid. I've seen people out on the street, stop sinning, holding up signs, preacher, stop sinning. I mean, I get your point, but you're telling lost, you're telling sinners to stop sinning. Sinners, stop sinning. Oh, okay. Let me just do that. Okay, I'm done with it. Then you go back and go back to the vomit and the pigsty. Why? Because without the changing power of the Holy Ghost of God, without regeneration, you will never stop sinning in that sense. Our goal should be always, as a child of God, sinless perfection. That ought to be our goal. It should be. We should not want to sin, and we should never want to make an excuse for sin. Our goal should be we don't have to sin either. We've been saved from the power of sin. So I don't preach to you that you have, well, you're a sinner still. You have a sin nature, so it's okay for you to sin. No, it's not. It's downright deplorable and disgusting, and it's betrayal. It's brazen betrayal to God Almighty that you, who've been given the power over sin, should live in it or to walk in it. No, it needs to be repented of. And our goal ought to be to never sin because we have been given the power of God. It's when you and I give into the flesh, that's when we sin. But it's not because the flesh has overtaken us, because it doesn't have the power to overtake us when we have the Holy Ghost of God, because we've been given power over sin. Now, we are not free from the presence of sin until we stand before Him and are made like Him one day. Amen? But we do have the power over sin controlling us or having dominion over us. Amen? We've been given that. We give in to the flesh when we sin. It's not because we've been we've been overpowered by it. No, we've had to give in to it. Amen. All right. That's part one there. Part two here. Biblical separation from sin does not mean I avoid all lost people. Understand that. We don't have an Amish mentality. All right. I'm going to go run off to my farm somewhere. I'm going to go live on the farm there. Not that I'm against the farm, especially if you have raw milk, because I need some. But anyway, right. Amen. But I'm not against you having a farm. What I mean is this mentality of, well, I'm going to run off and I'm going to raise my family away from everybody else. And they're just going to live away from everybody else, and I'm going to be isolated from everything. That's not biblical separation. We don't run away and hide in the woods from people, start a home church, and avoid evangelizing the lost or even communication with lost people because, you know, we're going to live separated. That's not separated. That's isolated. You're to be a light to the world. You can't be a light when you hide your light and you go hide in a cave somewhere. Amen. There's people trying to do that right now. They're trying to hide from the Antichrist. Be like, no cell phones, no computers. Or they will. All right, I don't have a smartphone because it can be tracked. Any phone can be tracked, man. I don't care where you are. If they want you, they're going to find you. If you think you're going to hide from the Antichrist, you got another thing coming, Jack. Even if you don't believe you're going to be here, let me just tell you something. There ain't nobody going to hide from the devil like that. When it's time, you ain't hiding, okay?
Can't even hide from the IRS.
That's right. Can't even hide from the IRS, which is a branch of the devil. It's a good thing I'm not a 501c3. He'd get in trouble for speaking against their master,
right.
Their sovereign of their corporation.
Amen.
Oops. A little bit of truth there. Some people think separation from sin means I don't communicate with any lost. That's not true either. If they cannot see my life of separation, how can I witness to them? How can I evangelize them if they don't know I'm separated? It doesn't mean I show up at their drunken festivals or I partake in them. It means I preach outside of them. Amen? This means that I engage them. I reprove them and condemn them with the law of God, and I preach Christ to them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange. Well, they can't think it strange if you ain't around. What's the point? Peter's saying you're going to be around the world. Don't be of it, though. You're going to be in it. Don't be of it. You stand with reprove and rebuke, and you stand, you live your life against it, but you still got to engage the lost. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can't do that if you're hiding out in some cave somewhere in Idaho. I got a friend that lives in, well, he's sort of a friend, lives in Idaho, and he, meanest friend I ever had, ain't he? Ain't he, Nate? But anyway, Nate knows him, he sees him on Facebook, but you know, he's got his family, he's hiding out in Idaho. Good for you. I don't know how much good you're going to do for the Lord out there by yourself, but that's what you feel like doing, I guess. And abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. See, they spoke evil of that, which is, what's wrong with you? How come you're not partaking in our festivals? How come you won't say Merry Christmas? What's wrong with you? Well, I've been saved, that's why. Our lives and our speech reprove. When we don't go about the same way that they live, it reproves them. They don't like it. But I can't do that unless I'm engaged. Which brings us to separation from the world and its ways. 1 John chapter 2. Biblical separation from sin and from the world. What does that mean? How can I be separate from the world if I'm to go preach the gospel to the world? What's that mean exactly? It means the world's ways. The way of this world. What is the way of this world? According to the course of this world. According to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. According to what? To the spirit of Antichrist. I'm to be separated from this world. Love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We are not to love the world. What does that mean? I'm not to love the ways of the world. The ways of the world are antichrist. The world has its ways of doing things. They have their legal ways of ripping people off. They have their legal ways of treating people poorly. They have their legal ways of extortion, of murder. Look, we have legalized murder in America. We have abortion. We have soft killing. That young lady, Brittany Maynard, that killed herself with a couple pills over in, where was that at, Washington? I can't think of the name of that state. What was it? Remember the state? Okay, Oregon. She took the pills and... Those are real murder mass suicide pills right there. Those are the ones she took. She just popped the pills and you can legally kill yourself over there. And they said, we want you to know it's not euthanasia, though. Yes, it is. You don't get you. See, that's the way the devil's crafty. See, he just changes the name of it. Does the same thing and just changes the name. People are like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's not euthanasia then. She just killed herself. What do you think it is? Yeah, it's suicide. But what are those ways that he's talking about? Antichrist. Because he says, just three verses down, or one verse down, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse number 18, what was he saying? He's saying that that's the world you're to separate from, that Antichrist spirit and mentality you're to separate from. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Right? Why? Because they left because they weren't of us. Amen. If you were... Okay, now John chapter 15, verse number 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. See that? Boy, that's such strong speech, Jesus. For you to say that the world would actually hate me. Everybody's supposed to love us. Right? Everybody's just supposed to love you. That's because the Christianity that's been sold in the last 50 years to 75 years is a palatable one that everybody loves. It tastes real good. It tastes great, but it's less filling. Isn't that right, Brother Anthony? Huh? Tastes great, less filling. How about that? What a slogan. They always take all the good slogans, don't they? It's true, isn't it? Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse number 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. What is that? It's biblical separation from the world. God plucks them out. You're to follow in obedience to that. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse number 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. What? You mean those that the word has been given to, the world will hate them? It doesn't sound like my best life now. Doesn't sounds like people are not going to like you very much, doesn't it? Yeah, that's biblical separation. See, if you hide Christ in your heart, like the slogan goes, if you hide Christ in your heart and he never comes out in your life and in your actions, nobody's going to hate you. But the minute you open your mouth, they're going to hate you. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard anybody preach on anything like that the entire time I've been saved. I never heard anybody preach anything like that. I never heard a man stand up and preach to me that the world hates Christ or that the world would hate me. Brother John, I promise you, the 12 years I've been saved, I've never heard a message on that besides myself preaching it and Rolf Barnard. That guy, I heard him preach a message about that. But that's it. I've never heard that type of message before. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Look at that. This is Christ's prayer, by the way. But that thou shouldest keep them from evil. What is that? It's biblical separation from the world, from evil. That's right. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Oh, you mean because Jesus wasn't of the world, and if you follow Jesus in biblical separation, then those around you are going to hate you? Yeah, you mean, can you imagine that even your family is going to hate you for that? But that doesn't seem possible, does it really? In our mind, everybody's a Christian. So they couldn't possibly hate or despise me if I practice biblical separation. Oh, yes, they will. Turn on you like a rabid dog. Those are the philosophies of the world. Jesus was praying that through the power of the Holy Ghost, that we would be separate from evil and from this wicked world. So what does that mean? It means this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See? That's biblical separation from the world. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, 1 Peter 2, 9. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Look at this. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Why? What do they do? Which war against the soul. You ever had a vice? Even as a Christian, there's some things that we have to lay aside that the devil tempts us with. And he says, why? Have you ever felt that spiritual battle? Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever felt that battle where you know something is warring against your soul? Do you understand that? It is warring against you. Do you get that? That's the war of biblical separation. Because it's a vice. It's a sin that is warring against you. It is a lust down in the depths of your flesh that is warring against you. Better start fighting. Because it's fighting you, whether you're fighting it or not. He says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is he saying there? He's saying that my biblical separation has an effect on the world. And they see it and they think it's strange that I not run. Why? I beseech you as pilgrims, strangers on foreign soil, aliens. Man, think about it. You're to look foreign to them. You know how they can tell if somebody's not from that place? You ever walked into some place and people look at you like, man, you ain't from here? You ever walked into that place? I have. I've been a few places like that. I went to a place one time to get some pizza. This was like 2 weeks ago. And I'm telling you, I didn't realize what they had inside there, that it was like this. And this like bar on one side of it. But I didn't know it was like that. I just thought it was a place you just went to get pizza, you know, or whatever. I walk inside there and I swear everybody looked at me like, what are you doing here? I'm not kidding you. They just looked at me like, what are you? And I was like, man, what am I doing here? I hate this place. I was getting mad. Like, I was getting angry. I didn't want to be there. I was getting mad. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm standing around. I'm like, man, do I just ditch this after I already did this? And I mean, you know, is it ethical for me just to walk away from all this? Or am I kind of responsible because I already, you know, already ordered this? They have all this ready. But I'm telling you, I was ready to jump ship. It's making me mad. I was looking around at all this stuff and I seen it. It was like when Paul seen the wickedness and idolatry and he just ran and started screaming like Alex Jones. He started screaming. I wanted to just start screaming in there, but I hated it so much. And everybody was looking, and I didn't have any different clothes on or anything like that, but everybody was like looking at me like, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? Like, they knew I wasn't supposed to be there. Do you know what I mean? Like, they knew it. I could feel it in my spirit. I could feel the wickedness there, and I wanted to flee. I wanted to run as soon as I could, man. Bam! I was out the door as fast as I could. It bothered me so greatly. That's separation from sin in the world. Amen? That's what it is. That was in Northfield, yeah. Yeah! Hate that place! I've never been in there before, I don't think. I don't remember. It's been years if I have been. And man, I'm telling you, I hated that place, man. Hated it! Man, anyway, sorry. Second Timothy 4:10, Paul is telling a story of a man. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's what he's talking about. Where he said, remember John said, love not the world. That separation from the world. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Because he loved this world. Having loved this present world, he loved it. He was caught up by it and he took off. Think about it. We're to separate from sin and we're to separate from the world. It's a very serious thing. Souls are at stake, by the way. People are watching. Your children are watching whether you're separated from sin, not just in front of preachers and other Christians, but in your own home. They're watching whether you're separated from sin. They're watching to see the fruit of the Spirit. They're watching to see a different life. They're watching to see if what you have is real. Our sons and our daughters are watching. Our daughters are watching whether our wives are submissive, godly, God-fearing wives. They're watching. They're watching to see if our fathers are strong fathers that love their wives and are willing to give themselves for them, like the Bible says. They're watching to see if our witness is true, if our witness is real. What message are you sending? Biblical separation sends a message. And it's time that God's people stand up and separate from sin and separate from this world and all of its ways. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the command of God. Father, help us, Lord. We need to be separated from sin and from worldliness. This world needs to see true Christians. Our children need to see true Christians. Backslidden or false professing people need to see real Christians. Help us to be those. Help us to be militant in our stand for you in these end times apostasy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.